This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at reservebar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at reservebar.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Just want to make a quick note at the top of the show that this is a recording of a live YouTube stream that we do every Sunday night on YouTube. And because it's live, that means things can sometimes happen, like issues with my internet connection. So thank you for bearing with us as we work around that. And I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am every Sunday evening by Andrew Erickson and Dr. Deepak Chona. Guys, I think pretty, like, objectively the best fantasy day we've had all season, at least in terms of a Sunday afternoon. Right, Erickson?
Oh, no. Couldn't agree more. You know, you're going to put up 200 points in a lot of leagues and you're going to lose this week. And it's going to be sad because you're like, my team went off. And it's like, oh. Well, your opponent's team went off too. So, but this is what you want. You want these high scoring, you know, affairs, these contests. That's what you want. And that's what makes fantasy fun. It's like we watch these shootouts. Like, that's fantasy matchups this week are all about the shootouts.
Yeah. And especially like when the first 7 weeks of the season, it feels like pretty much every Sunday we're like, why isn't this star performing? Why isn't that star performing? Why is my team doing so crappily? And to finally have a pretty good week for pretty much everybody, win or lose, it feels like you probably scored a lot of points this week, unless you really botched it. Deepak, how did your team treat you this week?
We're 2-1 or 3-0, so we're feeling pretty good overall.
Pretty good. Glad to hear that. Like I said, I think a lot of people will be feeling pretty good after the afternoon we just had. For those watching this show live on YouTube, thank you. We will be here every Sunday night around 7:45 Eastern all season long. If you're watching us here on youtube.com/fantasypros, please give us a like and be sure to subscribe to help us out. If you enjoy our content, click the bell to get notified of all our latest podcasts, short videos, and live streams. And for the folks listening on the podcast, don't forget we are live each and every Sunday night, so you can watch us along with every other Fantasy Pros podcast over on our YouTube channel. If you want a chance to win a signed free DK Metcalf Seattle Seahawks jersey, courtesy of our friends at Pristine Auction, you need to subscribe to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below on this video and then stick around because I will be announcing the winner in the next hour. So this is your chance. Guys, we talked about how it was a really fun day because there was a lot of scoring. It was also fun because there weren't a ton of injuries. I don't want to minimize the guys who got hurt that aren't really, you know, fantasy relevant, because you feel for them. You never want to see anybody get hurt. It's a really violent game. Recovery is tough, all that stuff. But from a fantasy perspective, it was a pretty clean day injury-wise. The big one that came late was Cooper Kupp. It looked pretty bad early, like his feet might have gotten rolled up on. He did walk off of the field under his own power, went to the locker room, but it was late in the game, and the game was pretty much out of hand anyways. So I don't know that him going to the locker room right away necessarily means anything. Deepak, what did you see from the injury perspective?
Yeah, the video suggests an ankle sprain, and the fact that he was able to put weight on it right away actually bodes really well. So I'd give him a solid chance to play next week. Not 100% yet. We'll see probably some limited practice sessions to start the week, but a very solid chance on Cooper Kupp for week 8.
That's definitely good to hear the optimism there on him. Again, when he first went down, not only did it look scary, but you're also talking about Cooper Kupp, like the best wide receiver in football. So it was extra scary. Thankfully to hear that the news probably will be good. But again, keep an eye on it. Obviously, this happened just a very short time ago, so not a ton of information out yet. And the other wide receiver to go down was Devontae Parker. What did you see there?
Yeah, the video there suggested an MCL sprain. And with those, you would average 2 to 4 weeks for wide receivers. They will probably need to get an MRI early this week to make sure there's nothing bigger like a meniscus involved. But usually, again, 2 to 4 weeks on these.
And then lastly, because we didn't have a ton of, you know, injuries to go through today, I'll just quickly name, you know, some of them. We had like Mark Ingram had the knee issue. Ramondre Stevenson left the game, but returned. Adam Thielen left the game, but returned. Justin Fields left the game and returned. Tyler Higbee left the game and returned. Also, Irv Smith is getting an MRI at some point in the next day or two. So since a lot of those guys either came back to the game or aren't particularly fantasy relevant, I want to ask you about Ja'Marr Chase. We had the update come out that he won't be going on IR. It's been kind of unclear about what this injury is going to look like for him in terms of a timeline. What can you tell us about it, Deepak?
Yeah, so he has a fracture in the hip, and that's actually not necessarily bad news. Bone healing in this location is pretty reliable. So from that perspective, we'd look for him to come back probably around week 12 as the target. Now, he does have also a labrum tear, and that's a little bit of a wild card because some proportion of these end up needing surgery. But most commonly, you'd be able to play through that for this season, possibly with an injection, and then consider if he needs it surgery in the offseason.
Like I had not a ton of injuries to go through today, so we're going to cut this segment fairly short. We'll be back in just 30 seconds here, Deepak. Thank you for joining us. And I don't want to say hopefully we have you for longer next time because we don't want to see injuries, but hopefully we have you longer for next time, kind of.
Totally. No doubt.
Want to dominate your fantasy football leagues? Well, then you need My Playbook, available only from Fantasy Pros. Struggling with the waiver wire? My Playbook lets you see who the top available players are week to week. Can't decide who to start? Compare your players side by side with detailed breakdowns and projections for each week of your fantasy season. And it's all included with your premium subscription to Fantasy Pros. So sign up today at fantasypros.com or download our free My Playbook app to your Apple or Android device. Erickson, we have a ton to get through today because it was such a fun scoring day. So let's get right into your fantasy headlines. I will say I was kind of hoping for a little bit better of a Halloween theme from you.
I mean, I tried. What did you want me to do? Everything. Oh, here's a treat or here's a trick. Here we go. I can start each of the players to talk about. All right. This is a trap. This is a trick or this is no big treat from this guy.
I mean, yes, that's exactly what I was hoping for. It's some fun stuff like that the day before Halloween.
I did have one Halloween.
You have one. I'll give you credit for that, but I wish there was more.
All right. So if my quarterback headline is terrific, Tua Tagovailoa could have said a major treat. Basically, the king size candy bar is the Miami Dolphins quarterback this week. I mean, 382 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 138.7 passer rating. I mean, every week with Tua, it's just Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. When they combine for more than 50% of the team's targets every single week, in week 8 it was 68%, his upside is just through the roof every single week. So he's someone that you're starting basically every single week, you know, really honestly, regardless of matchup. But you look at the next matchup that they have, Bears, Browns, Texans for the Dolphins. So hashtag fins up.
Yeah, and the you know, dynamic duo at receiver, I believe I saw a note that this is the most any top duo of receivers on a single team has had most receiving yards through the first 8 weeks of a season in NFL history. So they are obviously carrying him to great heights, especially when he is on like he is today. Again, like, you know, playing the Lions, a lot of people are going to do really well against that defense. But, you know, when you expect a guy to be really good, you should see him look like a star against a bad defense like this. Give me your running back headline.
Free Tony Pollard, because we finally get to see him with like a full workload, and the Cowboys just went out and basically destroyed the Chicago Bears. And Tony Pollard, I like how you put it in the notes, hilariously rushed for 131 yards on 14 carries, 3 rushing touchdowns. Dude was averaging just under 10 yards per carry, which is the per norm for Tony Pollard. And then Jerry Jones has to come out and be like, you know what? Well, we're going to get Zeke. you know, give him his usual workload when he comes back. It's like, dude, just move on. Like, just start Tony Pollard. It's so obvious to everyone in the universe that he is so more such an explosive player that it can completely change and take your offense to the next level. Is it weird that the Cowboys scored the most points in any game this year that Zeke didn't play in? I don't think that's a coincidence. Again, playing the Bears obviously helps, but they played the Lions last week and they didn't put up this nearly as many points. So, free Tony Pollard.
Do you think it's just Jerry Jones, like, being Jerry Jones and, you know, he's always going to be in Zeke's corner? Or do you think there is a chance that maybe the coaching staff actually will say, let's kind of feature Pollard a bit more, like we've all been clamoring for so long?
I mean, Mike McCarthy was, you know, at the head of the free Aaron Jones movement for a while. And eventually he did come around and did free Aaron Jones from Jamal Williams. But time will tell. They have a bye week, so Zeke has an extra week to get healthy. But, I mean, at least it's got to be a 50-50 split, like down the middle, at least.
Let's move to the receiver. Who else could it be besides A.J. Brown?
Wide receiver one, AJB. Wide receiver one season. So excited for A.J. Brown. 3 touchdowns here today. 6 catches for 156 yards with the hat trick. 11 targets, 37% target share. Look, man, he's just an alpha wide receiver that's finally finally benefiting from an offense that is willing to throw the ball. Now, he was stuck in Tennessee, and we were basically got glimpses of his talent and upside in games where the Titans had to throw the ball a little bit more, but he's never the featured player. Whereas the Eagles are, no, like, we're not featuring the run game. We're not featuring Miles Sanders, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. Like, A.J. Brown is our featured guy, and I'm just so excited as a fan of A.J. Brown, like, all these years, to really see him blossom in this new environment and just be an alpha wide receiver.
And then tight end, back from the dead, is Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts, Frankenstein mode. We have life. He is alive, Kyle Pitts. 5 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown on 9 targets. And of course, it comes when I put Kyle Pitts in the fade of the week at tight end. When we removed it from the podcast altogether, I still had to mention Kyle Pitts. And of course, he rubs it in my face. But hey, I have a lot of Kyle Pitts because I touted him during draft season, so I was excited to see him obviously blossom here in this particular matchup. But looking ahead, we got to be smart here. We got to play our cards right. You know, 32% target share, 9 targets was a season high, tied for second most in his career. Look, Marcus Mariota threw the ball 28 times in this game, second most on the year. 253 passing yards was a season high. Next week, they're playing the Chargers. The Chargers cannot stop anyone against the run. So what do you think the Falcons are going to do? They're going to go in and be like, right, we're going to run the ball 35 times, and we're not going to throw it, and Kyle Pitts is probably going to disappoint. So if you have him on your roster, you go hit up the Mark Andrews owner and be like, hey, you know, Mark Andrews is hurt. Mark Andrews has a tough matchup this week. Mark Andrews has a bye week coming up. Like, you want to, you know, maybe trade Kyle Pitts, package him together to go with Mark Andrews or another tight end? Yeah, that's what I think the move is here with Kyle Pitts. I think that he is a trick of the trick-or-treat bag. He is the Dots candy that you need to get rid of ASAP Rocky.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the 5 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown, 9 targets. Season high in targets. Also tied for the second most targets he's had in his career. You sort of took the words right out of my mouth in looking ahead to next week. Predict right now for me, what do you think his line will be next week?
It's probably going to be like 4 catches for 30 yards and no touchdowns. Like, that's probably what it's going to be. So if you're happy with that, then keep him. But this is prime sell high territory for Kyle Pitts.
That is not the optimism I was looking for. Let's get into the rest of the slate here. Just to let everybody know, because we're going to run through what the schedule looks like for next week for all these teams when we get to each game. The byes next week, it is a huge one. It's Bye-mageddon. Browns, Cowboys, Broncos, Giants, Steelers, and 49ers. 6 teams all will be off next week. So keep that in mind throughout the week while you're planning ahead.
Matchup recaps.
We had a London game again today. We had the Broncos on an island game again today. They did win 21-17. What was your fantasy takeaway here?
Yeah, Travis Etienne goes absolutely bananas. 24 carries, 156 yards, and 1 rushing touchdown. He also had 3 catches on 3 targets for 6 yards. I thought it was interesting that Jamichael Hasty actually had more targets than he did. And I want that to not get lost. Like, obviously, Etienne is like super efficient now on the ground over these last 2 weeks. He's become the bell cow for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he really has not shown the same receiving ceiling that we all kind of projected him to have, even when James Robinson was still on the team. So I want to just kind of keep the expectations that he's not Alvin Kamara. Like, he's not Aaron Jones. Like, he's not doing that right now. And maybe that's not an expectation for this year, that he does take a massive step as a receiver, but something that we can look forward to till next year or towards the end of the season. I still want to see more of a receiver, but what he's doing as a rusher, as the bell cow in the Jaguars, you're so happy about ETN right now.
Does that limit his ceiling in terms of where he might fit rest of season among the RB1s? Because he's a guy that you didn't have to take early in the draft. I mean, early, yes, but not like round one or anything. So you might have a couple of really good running backs and ETN. So you actually might be in the position of having to pick between him and other really good players, even though they might all seem like must starts. So if that's the case for you, does the lack of the receiving, you know, work that he's getting right now actually mean he would be behind some of those other stud RB1s for you?
I think so, because it's true. I think that people are just going to look at him and think, because we all went into the season thinking ETN is going to be this massive pass catch, like that's how he's going to get it done. That's not really how they're using him. Like, they're really not using him that heavily as a receiver. And you worry in tougher matchups where the Jaguars fall behind, okay, how much is he actually involved here? So if you can package him to upgrade to another running back that you just has a much higher, you know, role in his team's receiving, I think that might ultimately be the move to make.
Cortland Sutton, just one catch, 4 targets, 13 yards. I know he has some favorable matchups coming up, but as the biggest Cortland Sutton stan, pretty much of anybody in the industry coming into this season, what do you have to say for yourself?
Oh my God. People were trolling me on the stream today. Like, how's Cortland Sutton doing? I don't know. Like, he must not be doing good, because people were asking me about it. Yeah. So it's been obviously a couple of disappointing weeks for Cortland Sutton. Look, he's free now. Like, people honestly might consider dropping him. They have a bye week, and then they play the Titans and they play the Raiders. Like, two really good matchups for wide receivers. Now, he's obviously removed from the, oh, you're going to start him every single week. You know, I think he falls more in the wide receiver three territory. But no, that's still a piece that you can use and manage if you play him in right matchups. But again, he's far from a must start player. And there are potentials that there's pieces that move in this Broncos offense. Like, Jerry Jeudy's been rumored to be on the trade block. Does he get moved? You know, was this a game where they wanted to feature him more because, you know, they're trying to trade him? So there's a couple things that could still work in Cortland Sutton's favor. I don't think that he's just completely useless, but more matchup dependent and, you know, really probably just a wide receiver three.
With the Jaguars still, Trevor Lawrence, after a really fun start to the season, just has not looked good in the last couple of weeks. And it's not just that the stat lines haven't been there. He just like hasn't looked good based on the eye test, just missing a lot of throws. Where is he right now for you? And what type of league would you have to be in to be keeping him? Superflex, obviously, but what type of one quarterback league, how deep would you have to be keeping him on your roster right now?
I mean, I don't think you're keeping him through their bye week. Like, I don't think that Jacksonville is a team where they're not actually on bye next week. That's weird. Cause usually teams have the bye on, after the play in London. But regardless, I don't think that he's a quarterback that he's a streamer. I think at this point, he's not someone you kind of like dialed in as your QB1 every single week. I think that you can drop him if you don't like the matchup. And if you do, then you move on and you play a different quarterback.
Before we move on with today's show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Omaha Steaks. From tailgate parties to busy weeknights, the flavor experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to savor all the flavors of fall. With their mouthwatering assortments of perfectly aged steaks, ultra-juicy burgers, and easy-to-prepare comfort meals that are ready in a flash. Right now, take advantage of 50% off site-wide by shopping their semi-annual sale. When you use promo code FANTASYPROS at checkout, you can take an additional $30 off of your order. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com, code FANTASYPROS at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code FANTASYPROS. Minimum order may be required. All right, that's too much time on a Broncos game. Let's get to the early afternoon slate. And actually, the game of the day, it was a good, bad game, a bad, good game. Falcons 37, Panthers 34 in overtime. Deontay Foreman, 26 rushes, 118 yards, 3 touchdowns. It's going to cost me my first loss in our work league, so that's not super fun. Again, we talked about this on the Friday show, where you were actually a little down on him relative to Debro, at least in some of the, you know, player comms we were putting on him. Does this change your opinion at all?
I mean, I kept like thinking back to that exact show and about like scoffing that Debro would play Devontae Foreman over Stevenson. Not like Stevenson didn't have a bad game, but obviously not to the extent that Foreman. And I did move Foreman up the rankings, you know, after Friday. If you guys had peeked out the rankings, he was up there in the top 20. But obviously I did not expect this type of performance from him. Basically, I just thought they might use a little bit more of these other running backs for Carolina. But even now, if Chuba Hubbard is healthy, I'm like, I think you can't get away from Foreman. Like, it's one of these things where, yeah, you have a starter by name, and you know, Hubbard played well before his injury, but, I mean, Foreman just is playing like at an elite level. Like, this is what he got. This is what he did last year when Derrick Henry got hurt. They've just taken him out these massive runs, looking great with the ball in his hands. And obviously the Panthers didn't come away with the victory here, and the Falcons are in first place somehow in the NFC South at 4-4.
Boy, what amazing. A fun division.
But you can't argue with Foreman's, you know, 75% opportunity share. You know, that's top tier for a running back. So they didn't use any other running backs, and even if Hubbard comes back next week, he seems like he's probably going to take a backseat to Foreman.
So with a guy like Foreman, sort of similar to the ETN question, I think that's a really, like, it's a very real scenario that somebody out there listening might have Kenneth Walker, Damian Pierce, Deontay Foreman, ETN, and like Nick Chubb or Saquon or somebody, because those guys were all taken in different parts of the draft. So if you went heavy on a lot of these sleeper guys and you have too many to start, what is your strategy, like philosophically, if you have, like, let's say five of those guys that are maybe varying degrees of how you would rank them, but are all pretty clearly must start guys moving forward? Are you looking to trade? Are you saying it's nice to have depth during buys for a volatile position? What's your approach there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the move definitely is try to trade and not even necessarily make it like, oh, who can I trade that's going to be the worst player out of the bunch? Because honestly, it's harder to project that sometimes from week to week. Versus who can you get the most back for? Like, that's really what your ultimate goal should be. Like, if you have all these starting running backs, it's like, honestly, running backs are volume driven. So the fact that Foreman got work, that the fact that you have other running backs that have volume on their side, they're all going to probably do well for the rest of the season in some capacity. So what your job is to do, how can you capitalize on one of their running backs to get the most in return for a top tier wide receiver? You know, someone that didn't have a great game today or, you know, this past week that you can go get for one of these running backs that, you know, popped off this particular week that you honestly can't play. Cause it's like, they're on their bench. Like, you know, Foreman, you may have had to bench this week cause you just didn't, you had too many good players. You couldn't start him. And it's like, take advantage of the touchdowns by then trading him for another piece.
Looking, you know, at the rest of the Panthers, DJ Moore. I mean, you talked about Kyle Pitts, you know, Frankenstein back from the dead. DJ Moore, 6 catches, 152 yards. And of course that incredible touchdown at the end of that game, team high 11 targets. Is the installation of PJ Walker as quarterback in this offense such good news for DJ Moore that you're now starting him maybe with some degree of confidence, or maybe if just a flash in the pan?
No, I think that this makes sense. I mean, DJ Moore has been a wide receiver too for his entire NFL career with horrible quarterbacks. So it would only make sense that eventually his production would just bounce back because he'll probably end up finishing in the top 24. So the only way that was possible to happen is if he started to actually put up numbers as opposed to what he was doing to start the year. And just, you know, DJ Moore, he did catch the touchdown, but I mean, the dude caused his team to kind of lose the game. I mean, because he took his helmet off, it caused the penalty, they missed the extra point, and then you have to see the Falcons go and win the game in overtime. So, costly real like mistake for DJ Moore, but obviously a great, great player, and someone that's obviously someone that you don't need to take out of lineups right now.
And then Terrace Marshall, 4 catches, 87 yards, career high, 9 targets. Somebody that a lot of dynasty players really liked when he came out as a rookie, did absolutely nothing last year, did nothing to start this year. Is he somebody you're interested in, you know, off the waiver wire this week?
I think a lot had to do with the Falcons matchup. I mean, this was like the best matchup you could ask for wide receivers. And honestly, Marshall like left a lot of production on the table in this game. Like, he could have had, like you mentioned, the 9 targets, like, he only had 4 catches. Like, he could have had a much bigger game. So it's disappointing to see that he didn't like capitalize on every opportunity he was able to. But no, I still think that asking PJ Walker to support 2 wide receivers, I think, is still a lot to ask for him. And the matchup here was very easy for a wide receiver like Marshall.
Tyler Algier, 14 for 39, did catch a touchdown. Huntley had 16 for 91. And while Kyle Pitts finally had a good game, Drake London still did not. 4 catches, 31 yards, 5 targets. Just really quickly on him, panic level.
I mean, it's the same thing with Pitts. It's just, you know, if Drake London catches the touchdown this week and not Pitts, it's like we're talking just like the same thing. It's, they can't both be successful. So it's just not enough passing volume.
Panthers are at the Bengals next week. Falcons will host the Chargers. Let's move to Cowboys 49. Bears 29, Tony Pollard, we already talked about, but just again, 14 rushes, 131 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Just looked absurdly good, and especially when compared to what we've seen from Zeke in the exact same offense. Just really fun player to watch. CeeDee Lamb, 5 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown on 7 targets. Dak Prescott looked really good, 21 of 27, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, did have a pick, also rushed for a touchdown. Cowboys offense looked pretty much like I expected it to against a bad defense. Justin Fields was going up against a pretty elite defense in the Cowboys. He went 17 of 23 passing, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, plus 60 yards on the ground, and a rushing touchdown. I assume he's going to end up a quarterback one for the 4th consecutive week. He's been top 12 the last 3 weeks as well. I haven't looked at the rankings, but with a line like that, he probably has to be. So where are you ranking him rest of the season? Because he looks like the worst quarterback in football to start the year, but he's been pretty good the last month.
Yeah, I mean, he's really starting to figure out the rushing, and that's what you're getting from it. And the fact that he was able to do it in, you know, against a tougher matchup this week against the Cowboys, like the rushing's not going away. And this is what this is why we were drafting Justin Fields. This is why we were talking about him, because he's going to run. And I know it took a little bit of time to get going, but it's happening now. So he's a top 12 quarterback, really. And it's regardless of matchup. He's kind of shown us that with the running that he's getting in this offense, he is basically matchup proof, you know. So I think that he's someone that if you're streaming, you don't need to consider other quarterbacks really in most weeks. You can just keep playing Justin Fields really regardless of whoever defense he's up against.
Would you rather roster Khalil Herbert or David Montgomery right now?
Khalil Herbert. I mean, I traded for David Montgomery, just not that I wanted to, but just kind of how the trade worked out. And I was desperately just trying to trade him for Khalil Herbert before this week. And I don't know if I'm going to get that chance to do it after. So
probably not. The Cowboys are on bye next week. The Bears will host the Dolphins. Let's take just a very quick second to remind the listeners, if they want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more. Game number 4, Dolphins 31, Lions 27. Another fun Lions game there. Good offense, but also good defense. Ways are back, it looks like. Fantasy takeaway for me, Tyreek Hill, 12 catches, 188 yards on 14 targets. Every even numbered week this season, he has gone over 160 yards, weeks 2, 4, 6, and 8. So be on the lookout week 10 for sure. He is, I think, the first player in some number of years, I don't have the stat in front of me, with 150 yards in 4 games in a single season, and he has half the season left to go. So he's obviously unreal and a perfect fit for this offense. We talked about Tua as well. Jaylen Waddle, 8 catches, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns on 9 targets. Great game for him. Raheem Mostert, 14 rushes, 64 yards, no touchdowns. So not a great fantasy day. Still obviously getting all of the usage in this backfield. I know you've been worried about him a lot with the injury, but you're not necessarily worried about his performance while he's healthy, just the injury history. So we'll move on from there. Jamal Williams is the guy I really want to ask you about in this game. 10 rushes, 53 yards, and 2 touchdowns, even with DeAndre Swift back. Now, they clearly weren't using Swift like they normally might if he wasn't coming off of an injury, but Jamal Williams looks like he's still going to be a thorn in the sides of Swift managers.
Yeah, because Jamal Williams is still the guy they use in the red zone. Like, he's still the preferred goal line back, and it puts Swift in a position where he has to make plays in the receiving game. He has to rip off explosive runs, which he's obviously able to do because of how talented of a player he is, but it puts him against the wall. It's much harder for him to score fantasy points on a week-to-week basis. Like, game scripts have to go like this. They have to be like shootouts where DeAndre Swift can really benefit. Like, if the Lions get up on a team, like, that's like not good for DeAndre Swift's fantasy value. So he's going to continue to be very volatile. He's going to have a lot of spiked week production, but it's not going to be really consistent, especially with how he's just being used in the Lions off. I mean, Williams out-touched him 13 to 10, excuse me. So, and that's not really that dissimilar to when Swift was healthy to start the year. Like, Jamal Williams was still involved and hanging around. So it's just kind of, you have to temper expectations of Swift. Basically, unless he rips off a big play, it's probably going to be middling production most weeks.
Between DeAndre Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, obviously a couple of studs coming back off of injury. Swift had the receiving touchdown. St. Brown had 10 targets, 69 yards on 7 catches. Did you see anything from either of them that gives you optimism or pessimism coming off the injury, or just sort of a, this is what you expected?
Yeah, this is what I expected. Amon-Ra, I mean, look, 27% target share, just like he was doing before he got hurt, you know? And I just don't think that, like, just Jameson Williams thing, I just don't think that's really going to impact St. Brown. I mean, he's still a month away the last time we heard from the coaches. And if this team has one win and like 10 losses, like, are they really going to rush back their first round rookie draft pick? That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Dolphins are at the Bears next week, like I mentioned. The Lions are going to host the Packers. Vikings 34, Cardinals 26, another really fun game in this early slate. And DeAndre Hopkins looks all the way back, 12 catches, 159 yards, touchdown, team high 13 targets, and he had that sick touchdown, one-handed grab in the end zone.
Yeah, I was like, I told my fiance, I was like, hey, you need to watch this catch, it's sick. And he just makes that with his giant hands. He just like palms the ball in the end zone. Excellent catch by DeAndre Hopkins. Rondale Moore, again, showed a really great, you know, after the catch ability, and they're trying to rip his shirt off when he's just like running for a touchdown. They did throw the ball a lot of this game, but that's pretty status quo for the Cardinals. So I get 8 targets for Rondale Moore, but still only an 18% target share. It's not great necessarily. They took some shots with Robbie Anderson, but he's still kind of getting integrated into the offense. Not really someone you can rely on. They played AJ Green. They played Greg Dortch, who made mistakes on special teams. But really, it is the Hopkins show. And he's definitely impacting like Ertz's targets, too. Like Ertz only had 5 targets, but also scored. But Ertz has just still been too productive to even really think about, oh, I need to get another tight end, because he's still being productive, even though he's seeing less volume the last 2 weeks with Hopkins in the fold.
On the Vikings side of things, Dalvin Cook, 20 attempts, 111 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Typical star stuff from him. Justin Jefferson had 98 yards, 8 targets, 6 catches. No touchdown, but obviously still a productive yardage day at least, and hopefully helped you in PPR. The Vikings, I mean, the touchdowns were not going where we wanted. Munt, Osborne, Madison, and then a Cousins rushing touchdown were all touchdowns for Minnesota, which likely helped zero fantasy managers, unless you're starting Cousins, of course. Vikings are at the Commanders next week. Cardinals will host the Seahawks. Saints 24, Raiders a big fat goose egg. Alvin Kamara was one of several players today to not only score multiple touchdowns, but get in the end zone 3 times. He had 18 carries, 62 yards, a touchdown, also 9 catches on 10 targets with 96 yards and 2 touchdowns. Just looked like the guy that we've seen for the last 5 years.
Yeah, it was like just finally the usage was going to convert into touchdowns. Like it was only a matter of time until he had this like big blow up game, and it came really at the perfect time. You know, the Raiders had nothing on offense. I mean, Davante Adams, 1 catch, 3 yards. Like, I don't know what was going on with what happened with Davante, 5 targets. Oh my God, like horrible. And the fact that they went away, Josh Jacobs is literally on fire, and they're like, you know, let's not give him the ball anymore.
I was going to say, I mean, he got 10 carries, but just 43 yards. But yeah, he's been the best running back in football for the last 3 weeks, over 140 yards in each of those games with, I think, like something like 6 combined touchdowns over the last 3 games. And then to have this dud, but I mean, like it's the whole Raiders off. I mean, Davante Adams, 1 catch for 3 yards for Davante Adams. Derek Carr looked bad. I kept looking to see, like, did somebody get hurt that I just missed at some point? And no, they were just really bad. Do you think the Saints defense was playing well? They didn't even have Lattimore.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to like rewatch this game to kind of figure out. I mean, but because the Raiders have been a very efficient offense, they've been one of the better offenses in terms of like top 10 EPA per dropback this season. Derek Carr had been underrated. And I just like the fact that they're missing pieces still, like Hunter Renfro, like, is this dude ever going to like do anything this year? Like, you know, Darren Waller's not playing. He's not stepping up and making any plays. And then to see Amir Abdullah was used more in the passing game than Josh Jacobs, even though they've been using Josh Jacobs as like a full-on bell cow when their offense has been cooking the last couple weeks, to then shift gears to let you see more Abdullah. Just very weird across the board. I want to kind of label this as like a blip on the radar, and probably a lot of these Raiders are probably like buy low people right now, just coming off a horrible week. I mean, we see this sometimes with the Saints, you know, traditionally when they play the Buccaneers, just they had their number and they just like totally just blow out an offense that just can't move the ball. And this game was played in New Orleans, correct? It was in the dome. Maybe it's a classic case, West Coast team go to East Coast, and they just like, I don't know, they just weren't feeling it. It was like, this game's not going to work. And Adams was sick this week, too. So maybe that, you know, had something to do with his play as well.
The Saints are going to host the Ravens on Monday Night Football next week, so that will be a fun one. Raiders are going to be at the Jaguars. We'll see if they can actually score a point in week 9. Next up, Patriots 22, Jets 17. I know you want to talk about Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, man, he continues to just be the bell cow for the New England Patriots. 23 total touches, over 140 yards of offense from scrimmage, led the Patriots in receiving yards, 7 catches for 72 yards. Like, it doesn't matter what the game script is. Like, he is getting the ball through all facets. You know, Damian Harris had 13 opportunities, he had 11 carries and 2 targets. But still, you know, it's at worst for Ramondre, a 65-45 split when it comes to this backfield. Like, Ramondre is clearly the starting running back, and in games where they have negative game script, it's even emphasized more that it is Ramondre Stevenson getting the work, especially in the passing game. Now, I know the final score was 22-17, Patriots versus Jets, but Mac Jones had threw a pick six in this game that got called back because of roughing the passer, and that would have dramatically influenced this game. And I, even as a Patriots fan, I was like, this game was not like Zach Wilson couldn't get out of his own way. Like, that, like, that was the one thing that was very, very noticeable and just like super obvious. Garrett Wilson ripped off some big plays to start the game. Like, he looked pretty good on his touches. Elijah Moore, dude, I don't know where he is. Like, I watched the entire game and one target. Like, did not hear his name once, did not see him pop up on the screen once. I think you have to drop him. I mean, Corey Davis
Denzel Mims started over him.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to trade him. I don't know what the deal is.
He was asked after the game. There was a clip that was going around where they were like, what can you say about your on-field chemistry with Zach Wilson? And he sort of like chuckled and was like, I mean, I don't know. I don't get targets. so, okay. I don't know what you say to that. But yeah, on the Patriots side, how negatively do you think the Mac Jones stuff like would affect a Jacoby Myers? Because Myers continues to produce, but he only had 60 yards on 12 targets. He did have the touchdown. Stevenson actually leads the team in targets since week three. But Mac Jones, like you said, he threw a pick six that wasn't. Bailey Zappe struggled in the second half of that Bears game. This quarterback situation I still seems fluid. It still seems not good. How much do you think a guy like Myers, even with Devontae Parker maybe missing time, you might think Myers is a bye. Do you think the quarterback's going to hold it back?
I mean, Myers has been productive, whether it's been Zappe or Mac Jones under center. So I think that he's fine. But that's the thing. Like, if someone wants to pay more for Jacoby Myers as like a trade asset, then I'm fine moving off of him. But because he's not always going to run this hot with touchdowns either. Like, he's had like a very, you know, lucrative season right now with touchdown scoring, which he's traditionally never had. So you're enjoying it right now with the points that he's putting up, but it's not necessarily going to last. And he's still a guy that I really look at as a player with a very high floor, not necessarily a high ceiling, even though he's scored, you know, a couple different times over the last couple weeks.
Michael Carter, I thought was, you know, somebody I wanted to pay attention to with Breece Hall, obviously injured, and James Robinson sort of not fully like, you know, in with the team yet. And he had 7 carries, 26 yards, 4 catches, 35 yards receiving, almost had a touchdown. It was good defensive play by one of the Patriots defenders. James Robinson, 5 for 17 on the ground. I think we expect obviously to see him get some more usage going forward. And Tyler Conklin, 6 catches, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns, team high, 10 targets. A guy that's maybe worth taking a flyer on if you're streaming tight ends, but there's not going to be any consistency week to week, especially with Zach Wilson being hashtag bad at football. The Patriots are going to host the Colts next week, and the Jets are going to host the Bills, another AFC East matchup for them. Moving on to Eagles 35, Steelers 13, Philadelphia remains the only undefeated team in football. We already talked about AJ Brown, just unreal. He's so good. Had a chance, if it wasn't for a shoestring tackle, to maybe even have a 4-touchdown day. Who else in this game stuck out to you?
Yeah, man, AJ Brown, you just cannot say enough good things about him. Looking at, and the thing that happens though, when one of these guys eats, like the other guys are just nearly just going to suffer as a result. Like Goddard was fine, 6 for 64. Devontae Smith didn't do much, 5 for 23, even though he still had a ton of targets, like mostly stuff like near the line of scrimmage. And Miles Sanders like continues to be like, he's still their feature bell cow. And you don't look at the box score and think, oh, Miles Sanders was splitting carries with Boston Scott. Boston Scott did not play until like straight garbage time. Like he got like all of his carries at the end of the game when Gardner Minshew was in at quarterback. So Miles Sanders is still their featured guy. You can drop Kenneth Gainwell because until like the Eagles like are in a competitive game, like they're never going to use this dude. Like they're never going to feature Kenneth Gainwell with all their three receivers that they have. Like, why throw the ball to Gainwell? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So Miles Sanders and all these positive game scripts is just benefiting from super efficiency and obviously scored here as well. On the Steelers side, I mean, Najee is just the same thing every week. It's just like they're getting blown out in games and like, oh, well, Jalen Warren only came in because they're getting blown out. It's like, okay, well, they keep getting blown out and he keeps
going anywhere.
Like, so like, it's actually like really hurting his production that Jalen Warren is taking over like on certain garbage time drives. Like he had 50 rushing yards on 6 carries, which is more than Najee. I mean, Najee only had 14 touches to Jalen Warren's not. I mean, the fact that Jalen Warren looks good every time he touches the ball is not good ever for Najee Harris. So he just is that RB2 that you can't trade him because nobody wants him. I know that Joe has pointed out that his schedule, the Steelers' schedule, gets a little bit easier. But for me, it's like, well, is that really going to make a difference? And then the same thing with Deontay Johnson. Like, you can lock in 10 targets every week, and you can also lock in less than 40 yards on those 10 targets, five catches for 35 yards.
So what would you do with Najee? Because obviously anybody who drafted him is not happy, but nobody in your league is going to be looking to go out and trade for him. So do you just hold? Do you say, I'm going to sell low and just get whatever I can take? Would you buy low on him if you can get him for extra cheap? I mean, like, what is the action you can take as a Najee Harris manager?
I think you just got to probably hold or, like, sell low and just sell for, like, a Khalil Herbert and hope that he takes over the Bears, like, backfield, you know, just an ambiguous situation. Try to sell for an injured player, like, adding Najee with something to get Jamar Chase, or just flipping him for one of these, like, waiver running backs, like a Deontay Foreman. It's like, you know, obviously Najee still has the draft capital attached to him, and Foreman is obviously kind of like a new name, but I mean, who's going to score fantasy points for you now? Like, that's what you kind of need to do, especially what your record is. Like, maybe if you're feeling pretty about your record, you're 7-1, 8-0, you can take a guy like Najee, keep him on your bench, see if things change up. I would maybe entertain that idea. But unless the schedule really, like, changes everything for the Steelers offense, which I'm still skeptical of because the offensive line still sucks, I just think this is kind of like a lost season for Najee Harris.
Eagles are at the Texans on Thursday Night Football, a short week for them, heading into week 9, and the Steelers, a long week, they'll be on bye in week 9. Sunday, late afternoon slate, Titans at Texans. Derrick Henry just loves facing the Texans. He finds you somebody who looks at you the way Derrick Henry looks at getting to play the Texans. He circles these games on his calendar every year. 32 rushing attempts, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns, and they needed every bit of it because Malik Willis went 6 of 10 passing for 55 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry is that meme where that guy is like behind the tree and he's like rubbing his like hands together with like the yellow jacket when he sees the Texans on the schedule. It's just like, this is, we talked about this on the preview show. I like was hyping up how the fact that Derrick Henry had averaged over 200 rushing yards per game against the Texans in his last 4, and he did it again. 5 times in a row, this guy has rushed for over 200 yards against the same Texans defense. This is just ridiculous that this is even like a thing that's happened. And it's like surprising, but it's also not surprising because you're like, dude, he does this every single time he plays them. He just sees the Houston logo and just rushes for 200 yards. Like, it's nobody's business. So yeah, I mean, that's really the only thing you can talk about with this game, honestly, because the Titans offense did nothing. You mentioned Malik Willis's passing. Obviously, they weren't putting a lot on his shoulders to do much because they didn't need to. He didn't really do that much on the ground either. And then on the Texans side, I mean, Texans' offense is just, it's not great. I mean, Damian Pierce is the only guy they really tried to get the ball to. And even he was going to have a bad day had it not been for the receiving touchdown that they
scored. Thank goodness he caught that garbage time touchdown, man. Yeah. that really, really was some nice deodorant there for his day. But I mean, obviously, yeah, he continues to be the like workload.
Yeah, but he's still getting volume, and it's so yeah. He's gonna have game. Look, if you're playing the Texas offense, like he's naturally gonna have a much lower floor than these other running backs and better offenses. But again, it's just something to keep in mind. If someone's gonna pay for someone that's going to be a bulletproof, Damian Pierce is not bulletproof. It's just not.
You think Brandon Cooks is gonna get traded before the deadline this week?
I mean, I think so. Honestly, I think that he's probably a veteran receiver. He makes a lot of sense. They're not really featuring him that much in the offense. 4 for 73 today. He had 6 targets, led the team. I guess like for me, it's like they don't, if Nico Collins is really hurt though, I feel like it's hard for them to justify like, okay, we're going to trade away our best receiver and then basically screw over Davis Mills. But I mean, clear it's Davis Mills. I don't think he's shown enough this year to say that he's their guy. Like, I don't think that at all. So, I mean, if I'm the Texans, we just got boat raced by the Titans. We need to start to rebuild. Let's trade off assets. They'll get John Metchie back next year. So someone to keep remember the cat from Alabama.
If you could pick a destination for Cooks, just quickly, where would it be?
I think he probably should go to like the Chargers. Like, they need someone to like take the top off the defense. They need like speed. So I think that LA would be a good spot with him, Justin Herbert.
The Ravens are sitting right there, man. You couldn't have thrown me a bone at least.
The Ravens would be also a good spot too.
The Titans are at the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football next week. Texans also in primetime. As I mentioned, they're hosting the Eagles on Thursday. Commanders at Colts. Obviously, Commanders come away with a win thanks to Terry McLaurin. 6 catches, 113 yards. No touchdowns, just came down just short, but obviously that huge catch to put him in position to win it at the end of the game on his 8 targets, and continues to be the apple of Taylor Heineke's eye.
Yeah, this is the first time all year that Curtis Samuel did not lead the team in targets. So Terry McLaurin's target share in this offense is going up, and even though he didn't score here, he's making plays after the catch. So they didn't connect on a deep ball necessarily here, but it was still McLaurin making plays that Taylor Heineke continues to feed him with targets. So, I mean, it's one of these things where McLaurin's benefiting from no Logan Thomas really being a factor, no Jahan Dotson, but I mean, he's also a good player. Like, he is a good wide receiver, similar to that, like a DJ Moore, where, you know, they're going to have their lulls because they're attached to bad quarterbacks, but the fact that they've been so productive throughout their NFL careers up to this point already shows that they're always going to have some value and they're never really going to bottom out at any point. So I still think that he's still a sell high candidate if you can get a solid return for him. But I also understand if you just feel like I'll ride the waves, because that's what a lot of receivers are doing anyway.
Not a ton of rushing attempts from Washington in this one. Antonio Gibson had 7 for 19 on the ground. Brian Robinson just 8 for 20 on the ground. Gibson did, of course, have 7 catches on 7 targets, 58 yards, and that receiving touchdown. He's looked good with Heineke. We got some questions in the chat about Brian Robinson maybe even being droppable. I don't think I would go that far, at least. Are you starting him at all?
No, I mean, I don't think that Brian Robinson is someone that I would drop. I mean, this was the first game that he actually didn't see as many touches as Antonio Gibson. So, and the opportunity share was much lower. So he was at 48%, or Antonio Gibson was at 48% this week, which was higher than Robinson. This is the first time Gibson has out-touched Robinson since Robinson's return. So I think that does matter significantly. And the Washington football team, or the Commanders, have a very good schedule rest of the season. So I wouldn't look at this as much as a sell for Brian Robinson, but maybe just like a low-key buy for Antonio Gibson. Be like, hey, he's still like cemented behind Robinson as like the carrier, but Gibson just continued to show that he's just a very talented running back still. So you're kind of betting on talent, and the fact that he just continues to like outproduce McKissick as the receiver, I kind of like how they're using him as this now receiver role, as opposed to, okay, let's run him up the tackles. I mean, remember, at Memphis, he was a wide receiver, so they're finally using him the right way. Just took another running back to kind of open their eyes to using him more in the McKissick role.
By the way, everybody listening, thank you for bearing with us with some connectivity issues here. My wonderful apartment connection here has been a little spotty tonight. On the Colts side of things, Sam Ehlinger, I thought looked good from the eye test. Obviously not a...
All right. I'm taking over because Ryan's internet is very spotty. He was just talking about Sam Ehlinger, so... Again, looking at what Ehlinger did, he fed Michael Pittman. Like, that was a good thing. Fed Michael Pittman, 9 targets, catching 7 for 53 yards, 39% target share. Michael Pittman also almost scored a rushing touchdown. So very excited to see that here. And yeah, Ehlinger, look, 15 yards on 6 carries, I think is fine. We expected a little bit more rushing, but yeah, I think the bigger concern is just hoping that Jonathan Taylor is okay. He rushed 16 times for 76 yards. He also re-injured his ankle at one point. He did come back into the game, but the fact that it was the ankle injury he was already dealing with, I think, is kind of a concern. So something to kind of monitor throughout the week. I still think Jonathan Taylor, based on the ankle thing, like not going away fully, I think that he's still someone that I would not oppose to be trading away, just because is this thing going to just linger all year long, I think is a concern for Jonathan Taylor, but it's good to see Ehlinger connect with Michael Pittman, treat him as the alpha. Again, like I said, 39% target share. Alec Pierce led the team in receiving yards with 65, 3 catches on 5 targets. Next week, the Commanders host the Vikings, and the Colts are at the New England Patriots. Game 11. Ryan, are you back to talk 49ers at Rams?
Do you have me? Am
yes,
I back?
I have you.
You tell me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you're back.
Thank you. I don't know if anybody could hear it, but I was thanking everybody for sort of bearing with us through the classic connection issues that one might have living in an apartment building. Just to mention, Commanders host the Vikings next week. Colts are going to play at the Patriots. 49ers 31, Rams 14. This is a fun one, so I'm happy that I'm back to talk about this. Christian McCaffrey, 18 rushes, 94 yards, and a touchdown. 8 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown. Team high, 9 targets. And he also threw a 34-yard touchdown pass. First player since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2005. To have a passing, rushing, and receiving touchdown all in the same game. What a stud.
What a stud. And I was ready to lay out that stat too, because we all heard it on Red Zone from Scott Hanson mentioned it, but it's a great stat, you know, to put, because that's who McCaffrey is. Like, he is the modern day LaDainian Tomlinson, the guy that's just an ultimate receiver out of the backfield, can do it all. You know, 26 touches, 149 yards. you're just so happy to see. If you were a McCaffrey manager, like, you were like, okay, like, he's on the 49ers now, like, what does this mean? And it's like, oh, well, it took 1 week to get him up to speed, and now he's back to, you know, top three, top whatever running back. Like, he's right up there. So you feel great about it. You know, no concerns about him moving forward. Jeff Wilson was basically non-existent in this game, and that's what you're going to expect him moving forward. Jeff Wilson still someone I think he's rostered just as like a handcuff. And Elijah Mitchell, man, he's just some guy that we like. He's just gone from total like, oh, like this guy could be interesting this year to like just dust, like total irrelevance for Elijah Mitchell, which is unfortunate. But hey, that's the life of a NFL rookie or a player that's drafted on day three. You just guaranteed nothing. And it's a word to the wise with some of these day three picks. But I am excited about Brandon Ayuk. He had another productive game, third straight game with over 80 receiving yards, 6 for 6 for 81 yards and a score. George Kittle also scored here, 5 targets on 39 receiving yards. And then it came true, man. Ronnie Rivers, baby. Matthew Berry was on the pulse of Ronnie Rivers.
I picked him up everywhere, strictly on the word of Matthew Berry.
Hey, man.
And not that he like did a crazy amount in terms of like production. I didn't start him anywhere. But I'm happy I picked him up. I mean, we'll see what happens with Kieran Williams coming back. We'll see what happens with the trade deadline if Cam Akers ends up actually moved. But Rivers seems like a guy that if you have room on your roster, and I know not everybody does, sometimes we talk about like, oh, hey, if you can stash this guy, you should. But a lot of people tend to have guys on their bench that they want to have on there. If you're in a position where you can make room for him, I think it's worth, you know, trying that. Did you see anything from him just like from the eye test that makes you excited about him?
Well, I mean, he has that receiving role that they like, and for him to basically supplant him, I mean, he had 4 targets to Henderson's 2. And this kid has been someone that they haven't really featured. You know, he played last week too, or before their bye week. You know, I was like, who's this Rivers guy like out here, like, you know, picking up big blitz pickups. Like, I don't know who this is. And I think it just goes to show like how much they don't like Henderson. Like, it's so bizarre how, you know, they love Cam Akers for a minute and then he's like just gone. And then they're like, you know what? We just need anybody else but Henderson. And again, Henderson was like sick or something. But McVay also said he was like full go. So yeah, this is why Henderson was a sell high entering this game. And now Henderson, like, his value is basically nuked at this point because, I mean, he's taken a backseat to Ronnie Rivers. So hopefully they just trade for Kareem Hunt and we can just like wash our hands of all these other Rams, like fringe running backs. And he's like, all right, it's the Kareem Hunt show. Like, we can get rid of everybody else. Maybe that'll happen. I hope it does. But yeah, I mean, Henderson is an RB3 that you really can't play him.
Cooper Kupp had 8 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown before heading to the locker room early. Again, keep an eye on that. Although it seems like maybe from early impressions, it's not as bad as it looked.
Well, but with Cooper Kupp, I want to mention one thing. Like, so we always talk about how it doesn't look bad like initially. But this is kind of what we talked about, like Jamar Chase last week too. Like, we didn't even like bring up Jamar Chase like when we did the injury thing because he came back in the game. And I just don't always think that like coming back in the game is always like, oh, like he'll be fine. So for me, I'm probably going to try to put Cooper Kupp on the block and try to get ahead of, okay, now he's actually hurt and now he's going to miss games and now he's got to be as effective. Because the Rams just haven't been as good as, I mean, you've watched his games. Like, the Rams have not been nearly as good on offense. So someone like Jamar Chase, like getting ahead of it a little bit and be like, hey, I'm not going to risk waiting to get bad news and maybe try to move this player while you're still getting all the value for Cooper Kupp, because he's obviously coming off a productive game.
I know we're running late on time, but I would not be able to forgive myself if I didn't mention that McCaffrey's crazy, you know, passing, rushing, and receiving touchdown in the same game. If you look at the NFL, it hasn't happened since 2005, like we said. If you look at college, it actually happened in 2018 when Jayshon Jones of the Maryland Terrapins did it as a true freshman on his first 3 touches of his career, which I don't know how to look that up, but I have to believe is the first time that has ever happened, that somebody's first 3 touches of your career are a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown. He did it against Texas when Maryland was a huge underdog. It was awesome. Go Terps. Rams are at the Bucks next week. 49ers are on bye. Let's wrap up quickly with the final game. Giants at Seahawks. Honestly, in our like sort of, you know, our notes where it says fantasy takeaway, I wrote really not much of anything. There was no stat line that jumped out to me. I don't know if anything jumped out to you. It was a lot of like, you know, Saquon had 20 rushes, just 53 yards and a touchdown. We're not going to drop Saquon in the rankings. Kenneth Walker, 18 rushes, 51 yards and a touchdown. Again, we're not really changing our long-term outlook on Walker right now. Did anything jump out to you here?
Well, I think for me, it was just the fact that DK Metcalf played and was a baller again. Like, it seemed like he was going to miss like weeks. Like, this guy was going to be out for like an extended period of time. And then he's game time decision. Doesn't matter. He suits up. And all he does is what? Oh, you know, 6 for 55, touchdown on 10 targets. And it's just like, oh, he was healthy the entire time. So you don't even know if he was playing at 100%. He probably wasn't. But just goes to show you how much of a god DK Metcalf is. And give credit to Tyler Lockett, really bouncing back. You know, he dropped the touchdown, but then came back and did catch one from Geno Smith. So, yeah, these Seattle receivers, just you can trust them every single week. I never thought that would say that with Geno Smith, the quarterback. But we've seen enough of a sample size 8 weeks in, and even dating back to last year, where, you know, Geno can feed these guys, and really it's those top two players, and you can really kind of forget about the Goodwins, the Seahawks tight ends. Just zero on those guys. Just keep up with these two top receivers and KW3.
Giants are on bye next week. Seahawks at the Cardinals. We are going to get out of here while I think people can still hear me and the connection is good for the moment. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. That's going to do it for tonight's show. Please remember to come back each and every Sunday night of the 2022 season. And remember to check out all the awesome opportunities we mentioned today, including with Omaha Steaks. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Erickson and Deepak, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.